The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side. This week in comics, a lot of D23 news. Then we have a lot of books to get to, and we have three books that we read for this week. And again, as you can see from the timestamp, a lot of news, a lot to get to. So let's just hurry up and get into the store. Hey, John, how we doing?
Man, I am fan-freaking-tastic, DJ. How are you?
Fan-freaking-tastic. You are excited.
I am. I'm always excited.
Are you excited because it's this...
You just never know.
Is it this whole new Nerdy Legion network thing? Is that what got you excited?
What else would it be?
We've been doing this for almost 11 months now, and very few times have I come in and you've been this excited. I mean, the look on your face is priceless.
It says it all.
Huh? Yeah, this whole Nerdy Legion thing, it's been quite a few days now. And
Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday was the first day we announced it. Martin put it out over Twitter on Saturday before, so we've had some downloads and stuff. Is it fair to say this is more than we expected?
Yes, I think so.
It's been great. And then we have, we've got some thank yous to do. Wouldn't you say?
I think we do.
I think we got some thank yous. Obviously we thanked Nerdy Legion the other day, thanked Martin, but we got to thank Joey Galvez because if it wasn't for Joey, we wouldn't even know these people. Met Joey months and months ago. He found us on Twitter and he liked our bio. He liked the positive part of the bio where we said we like to be positive about things, and I think actually the Nerdy Legion guys were in Chicago at the time, and Joey invited me and you couldn't make it, but to co-host on the Bat Pod, and that's where Joey was at the time. He was on the Bat Pod, and it was great. We had a great time. Joey and I had a great time. I co-hosted a couple of times, or guest hosted, I should say, a couple times on the Bat Pod.
Yeah, you were there a few times.
Yeah. He kept trying to get the two of us, but it just didn't work out with our schedules. When you got three people's schedules to deal with, it's tough to do. So,
yeah.
But, you know, Joey went his own way. He wanted to do something more than just Batman, so he's now at the Big Two podcast. You can find him on iTunes. He's doing, obviously, the Big Two. He talks about Marvel and DC. So,
right.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good on his own. I wanted to thank him for introducing us to the Nerdy Legion, telling even just the whole idea of a network. And then, of course, from meeting him, I met Bill. And then from there, it went on. I met Martin and, you know, they listened to us, liked what they heard. And here we are today.
Yeah. Where would we be without Joey?
I know.
Friend of the podcast, Joey Galvez.
Yep. Yep. So,
and Mags Visaggio.
Yeah, exactly. So thanks to Joey. Check out his podcast. You can find it on iTunes, I believe. So that's enough.
I think so.
Okay. All right. What else we got?
Oh.
I didn't mean to stump you there. This is a podcast. They're not here to see your good looks.
Well, because you usually say, what do we have for news?
Yeah.
So threw me off.
All right.
You know, this is only like our, not even a first full week on the Nerdy Legion, and you're already making me look bad.
Yeah, yes, you're stumbling and bumbling
You're going to have to go back and edit that out, but you never do.
I remember there was a time when
you're going to.
I remember there was a time and you would get what I was putting down.
Yep.
Yeah, we
used to be more simpatico, but... I don't know what happened.
It's all this pressure now. We're in a network. We got to perform. It's like, it's so much pressure. My palms are sweaty.
I don't even want to talk about my pressure to perform, DJ. So that's a topic for another podcast.
Yes, it is.
So anyways, unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you know a little thing called D23 happened last week, and we got tons of news on
I missed D1 through 22.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what D23 stands for, but...
Yeah, I meant to Google that, because I felt like an idiot. I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
But...
But yeah, we got a lot of news out of that, so... You know, again, most people, if you're listening to this show, you've probably heard most of this, but we're going to run down through it and give some of our takes on it anyways. So first bit of news that I have here is Jon Snow is coming to the MCU. Kit Harington has been cast in The Eternals as Dane Whitman, and that's a character called the Black Knight. So that's pretty cool. The news had broke a couple days prior that he was probably coming to the MCU, and what character he was going to play, we didn't know. I thought maybe a bigger character would have been in store for Jon Snow, but I don't know what the Black Knight is going to do in the Eternals, but there's already talk now of him living in the MCU beyond the Eternals movie, so maybe this is a bigger part than it seems on the surface, because in a big ensemble cast movie like that, you know, it's hard for any one character to stand out. Although, I guess tell that to Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans.
Well, that's the thing. It's like if anybody Marvel's good at doing stuff like that. So
yeah. Well, and I guess they also have proven that no role is too small because you know they've taken lots of characters that on the surface didn't look like they were, you know.
Yeah.
Big players and have turned him into that. So
yeah, exactly.
So we'll see. You know, I've never seen him in anything except for Game of Thrones, but you know, I always liked his character in that show. And you know, he's not going far away from the swords and and the black knightery and whatever else. You know, he's still taking the black.
Yeah,
and he's still got his sword.
Yeah,
so
there you go.
I mean, really, it's just Game of Thrones 2.
It's a sideward
step. What the Eternals is. Yeah. You know, as long as he doesn't have a girlfriend with a dragon, we'll be in good shape. So
that he has to kill.
Yeah. all right. The next is for Disney Plus, we've got three new shows announced.
Yep.
At least on the MCU side of it. First one is Ms. Marvel. Second one is Moon Knight.
Yep.
And the last one is She-Hulk. So what's interesting about at least two of those is Moon Knight and She-Hulk had previously been confirmed for Netflix.
Oh, really?
They were like,
I didn't know
that. Yeah, they were like the round two of shows.
Oh, okay.
At one point, they had announced a second grouping of shows
that was
going to be on Netflix and She-Hulk. Because I remember at one point making the comment that all I wanted out of life was to see a courtroom drama with Matt Murdock and Jennifer Walters.
Yeah, you did say that early on.
And that's still really all I want out of this show. I just want big green She-Hulk, like L.A. Law. Like, I never want to see her leave the courtroom. I just always want her to be... Because I want to see the lawyer that has to go up against her and the jury that doesn't, you know, vote her way.
Yeah.
I want to see her held in contempt and jailed for contempt. So that's really what I want.
Jailed.
Yeah, that's really what I want out of that show.
Have you seen the? And it's stupid. And I think it's fake. I think a lot of it is fake. The stupid backlash on the people saying like everybody's you know everything has to go feminine. You know.
I saw something.
Like
there was some kind of.
You know,
some kind of poll that was put up, a petition.org or something to boycott anything.
Yeah.
Marvel with a female led character.
See,
I
think a lot of times people know that, like, they make it look like.
It's just a call for attention.
Exactly. They make it look like they didn't know that she was a character. And it's like, oh, look at the turn. I really don't think people can be that stupid because if you're paying attention or at all, you know this stuff. If you're not paying attention, then you don't even know that this show's coming out. Because you know what I mean? It's not in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, She-Hulk is not a new character.
Oh,
it's not like they just turned the Hulk into a, you know, it's not like female Thor where everybody was complaining a couple years ago that they just took Thor and turned him into a female. She-Hulk's been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Ms. Marvel's been around for... Well, this iteration has only been around for a couple of years, but, I mean, there's been a Ms. Marvel for
a
long
while.
Time, since the 70s.
Yeah.
So these are not new characters or new ideas. I really look forward to the Moon Knight show, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Because I'm really hoping they focus a lot more on the mental health aspects of the character.
Yeah.
And I just think that could be super interesting. I don't want the whole show to live inside his head. Like, I don't want it to be like Legion, which I really didn't like a whole lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got a chance to watch that, but I found that super hard to follow because you never knew when you were in his head and when you were out of his head and what was real and what wasn't.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to go quite that far, but, you know, I think it has the potential for some interesting storylines.
Well, it creates it creates a pretty good depth to a character, right, that they can play with, you know, and bring some awareness to. I saw a lot of stuff online about that, and I saw a few comparisons to Legion too, that, you know, some people were saying, well, Legion didn't do too well because of that, and they said, well, it wasn't because of that, but it was, you know. So here's another opportunity to, you know, delve into that whole mental health issue.
Right. Not to mention just super cool costume. Like, the look of the character is awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot to play with there.
I really want the hood.
Yeah.
I hope they do the hood right and they pull that off.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the fact that these are show, you know, I'll take an MCU movie all, you know, anytime.
Yeah.
But I really like the show format a lot more than just a movie, because
it's funny you say that. So last week we talked about that, but we had so much stuff in our list that I never got to one of the points, so I wrote it down for this week. And it's funny you mentioned that. It's like when we were kids, there were TV shows that we wanted to be movies.
Right.
And now it's come the other way, where it's like we're seeing movies and we're like, you know, we could really, really go in depth with this character if they just made like an 8-episode show, which is, for all intents and purposes, 4 movies. But it plays to the how well the technology has advanced, and it's quote unquote cheaper that even a TV show can put out such a quality show. And we've watched, you know, in the past these Netflix shows, they're going to be now Disney Plus shows, and even DC Universe now. We're watching these shows, and how many times have you and I said, like, this is like a movie?
Yeah, you know? Well, and I would imagine, you know, with the, obviously, it's Disney in Marvel Studios, so the quality's going to be there. Like, I wouldn't think a season of Moon Knight would have a budget that rivaled Endgame, necessarily.
No.
But something along the lines of Far From Home or something like that, you know. I bet you it has the
million?
Budget of a... I bet you a whole season of that show has the budget of a mid-tier feature movie.
We'll see. That's a
lot,
though.
I bet
though.
You it
that,
does.
That's asking a lot. That's a $200 million for a TV show for.
I mean,
yeah.
Hell, Friends had a $200 million budget, and or Big Bang Theory, just in the salaries of the actors.
Yeah.
So, so I don't know. We'll see. But I bet you it's high. Like, I expect the production quality on these to be on par with anything that you see in the, you know, in the theater.
Yeah.
And they'll make it back, you know. I mean, they're not going to be hurting for money.
It's funny you say that too, because so DC Plus and people have, there's a lot of talk on how cheap Disney Plus is going to be.
Right.
Did I just say DC Plus?
Yeah. You did.
I'm getting them all mixed.
Because I was going to, I didn't know if you were going
by
DC
Christmas,
Universe or Disney
Plus.
We're
going to be
gonna
a mess when
you,
the WB or the HBO Max comes out. But so anyways, Disney Plus. Oh man, I forgot my point. What was I saying?
I don't know.
Oh crap. See, it's a stupid network.
Well, you're talking about how cheap it was.
Oh yeah. So how cheap it I mean, you can now sign up and for 3 years, as you and I were talking earlier, for $3, you know, but everything, most of their content is already paid, not only paid for, made money. You know, all of these movies they're putting out in the theaters that are going to make $1 billion, it's free content for them.
Right.
Like, literally free content. It's not only is it free, it's already made the money. You know, right. And it's like, so their budget on this venture is like, it's already made money. Because all, you know, as opposed to Netflix, everything that comes into Netflix, Netflix has to pay for. Right. You know, whether they have to pay the rights to somebody for their content or they have to make it themselves and pay for it. Now, Disney is putting out some original content, and yes, they have to pay for that. But that money, I mean, Endgame alone probably pays the next 2 years of all these shows.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's all their, all the subscription fees that they collect, though, it all goes to their original content.
Right.
I mean, some of it goes to their infrastructure, I'm sure, but. Like you were saying, as opposed to Netflix, who's paying rights to studios and this and
yeah.
that, Disney is only funding their own stuff. And
right.
everything they take in is pretty much going to be going to their original content. And that's why I'm saying I think the budgets for these shows are going to be pretty high.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, just from the only thing we've seen from Disney Plus, and I'm skipping ahead just a second anyways, is, you know, we saw the trailer for The Mandalorian.
Oh.
That came out of D23. But again, look at that trailer. There's no expense spared.
No.
On that show. I mean, again, The Mandalorian for 6 or 8 episodes is going to cost almost what it costs to put Rise of Skywalker in the theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, the quality is there. So if all of their shows look just like that,
they're not filming it on an iPhone.
Exactly. Well, hey, they could be.
Right.
but yeah, there's really exciting stuff to look forward to with that. So,
oh, yeah.
Really can't wait. Can't wait for November.
Oh, I know. So speaking of that, you want to get into Mandalorian and the Disney Plus news that it apparently, was it IGN announced today about the all of their content is gonna drop weekly?
Yes.
As you and I have been speculating for a while, because that's how DC Universe does it, and it just when you're running a platform like this, it behooves you to do it that way. And right. we've been saying that because it keeps you coming back for more and more and more. And I mean, even obviously HBO did it with Game of Thrones, right. you know. And there are many people online that don't like that idea. So,
well, like I said, I can go either way on it. There are times when I like to just plow through an entire show on a weekend.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because I could put 10 episodes down in 2 days, you know, easily. And there's sometimes I like that, but then, you know, with Titans and you know, most of the Hulu shows are weekly. I enjoy that too. Because it's a minimal investment to sit down for an hour,
right?
Plug, you know, knock out this week's episode and then move on to the next thing. So I would have been happy either way, you know. Either way they did it would have been fine with me, but we kind of had the feeling that it was going to be weekly because all along they were talking about the Mandalorian first episode being available at launch. But they never made reference to the entire series.
Right.
And if it was going to be all dropped at once, then all of their marketing would have revolved around binge The Mandalorian on November 12th.
Right.
And they never said that. So I think we kind of have known this anyways, but it's just, I guess, now that they've confirmed that that's going to be their model for every show going forward. I think it's fine. I mean, it doesn't bother me. Like I said, I don't go crazy either way. I'd be happy with either one.
I haven't heard. Have you of any other shows that are dropping on the 12th?
No, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing that I've heard.
I can't imagine that The Mandalorian is going to be the only original content that'll be available.
Well, we should have heard by now if there was something else.
Well,
so,
because that would be weird. It's like with all the content that they have.
I mean, DC Universe only launched with, I mean, I don't even know if it had Young Justice on launch day. I don't think it had anything.
No, it didn't. It had Titans. Titans.
Not on launch day.
Not on launch day.
Oh, yeah. So
they had the early launch, and then you had, all you had was the.
Just their old content.
DC Daily was their only original content, and then you got a chance to surf around and watch, like, Superman.
They're going to drop with The Mandalorian, but they're also going to be bringing, you know, Captain Marvel for the first time.
Yep.
Endgame, not for a couple weeks afterwards, but, you know, the Captain Marvel is going to be their big
I think Endgame's in December. Like December. We announced it a while ago. It was like December.
Yeah, it's a few weeks later.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think if there was something else original that was dropping that day, I feel like we would know it already.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because they'd be advertising it.
That alone is another reason to go weekly. Because if you could binge it, people could sign up and be like, all right, I'm out. You binge it, you watch a month's worth, and then you're out. And if you
But I don't know, again, who's doing that? Because they know with all the stuff that is coming out, I mean, who wants to – you don't want to sign up and cancel every other week, you know, as new things come out.
I like the weekly format. I mean, I like binging too, but I like the weekly format.
I like the weekly just because it feels like it's not as long between seasons.
Right.
You know, when you binge – like, for instance, last thing we really binged we talked about was Stranger Things – and, you know, you're done in a day.
Yeah.
Or the boys, right? You're done in a day, and then you have to wait a year.
At least.
At least if you space it out over 10 weeks or 11 weeks, well, now I only have to wait nine months instead of a year.
Yeah, and if you're the type of person that likes to binge, just wait the 10 weeks.
Right, and then binge it.
And binge it.
But it kind of feels a little bit better waiting 9 months than it does 12 months, so.
Yeah. So... what'd you think of Rise of Skywalker, the trailer / special sneak peek?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. I'm super excited for this movie. I can't wait to go see it. That'll be the last thing that I watch before the movie comes out. I really wasn't even going to watch that because you know how I feel about watching the trailers and things. But I got sucked in by the montage at the beginning with, you know, all the original trilogy stuff and
all
of that. I mean, we really only got about a minute. The trailer was like 2.5 minutes, and a minute and a half of it was all scenes from stuff we've already seen.
Well,
so,
what I liked about that was it went in order. It went, you know.
Yep. 4, 5, 6.
4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3. Yep. And, you know, 1, 2, 3, and then 7, 8. So. Right. That kind of answers that old question that we mentioned last week, and we were like, or on Monday when we were talking about it, the, you know, what order do you show kids, you know? And it's like, I thought that was really cool that they put it in the order that the movies were released.
Right. I still think you show kids 4, 5, and 6, and then 1, 2, and 3. I think that's the way you have to show it to them.
Yeah. Cause that, you know. I mean, if you do.
Otherwise, you've spoiled the biggest. Of course, again. Even kids that haven't seen it yet, I don't know how many of them don't know that Darth Vader is Luke's father at this point. But
well, you never know. I mean,
but
kids are
young
enough.
Spoil the biggest. You spoil one of the biggest. I don't know. Can't think of the word in my head right now.
Yeah,
but you know, one of the biggest mysteries in the history of cinema.
So what's your what's your speculation on Rey?
Oh, I think that's a vision.
You think it's just a vision?
I think so. Yeah. I don't think she becomes Darth Rey. Who knows? But I think it's a vision. I think it's a Force vision or something.
Well, I think it's obviously, if she was going to go dark, I think they wouldn't have shown you, for one.
Right.
You know, they're not going to lead you down that path. I think, I've thought since, I think it was in Last Jedi, that they talked more about balance. And I think she's going to be maybe the first one to balance both sides. She's going to wield both the, you know, the light and the dark. And that's what she's doing. We're seeing that they're giving you a glimpse of that. Because
that's possible.
You know, it's like, and that's what was talked about with, you know, Anakin was supposed to bring balance to the Force. And then Luke mentioned, like, was it Luke? I got to watch Jedi, Last Jedi again before that. But yeah, they mentioned both sides, dealing with both sides and being able to wield both sides. So I think that's the direction that they may go, which hasn't been talked about a lot.
No.
I thought that would be interesting. But yeah, I don't think she goes dark because they wouldn't have shown us that.
Right.
What about... Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Black Widow poster?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Did you see the poster? Did you see all the stuff in the background?
Well, I think I did, but...
like, so on one side, you've got, like, it looks like, to me, I'm doing from memory right now, but on, like, her side, I think if you're looking at the poster on the left side, it looks like maybe those are all other, like, Black Widows. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, all the other characters that she's going to... I don't know. I just thought there was a lot in that poster that was pretty cool on both sides.
Yeah.
In the back, in the reds.
Well, she wasn't trained in a vacuum. So, I mean, there, you know, no. There was other students that she was trained with. So I imagine that's part of what that is. You know, there's already been speculation that, you know, somebody else is going to take over the mantle of Black Widow in the movie. So we'll see what all that means. But yeah, it looked pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, obviously, that's our next Marvel movie, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you the poster, it's got, I don't know who the bad guy is in the background, in the red up behind her.
Oh, I don't know, I'm not looking at it.
Yeah.
Right now, either. But, I mean, I know Taskmaster is the main
villain. Oh, that's who it
villain.
Is. That's yeah. who it is. That's right.
Yeah, so.
So. All right,
yeah.
What else you got?
Looks cool. Well, just more drama on the Disney-Sony front with the Spider-Man and the MCU. There's been a lot of stories this week about new deals coming in place. But what I wanted to mention, which I thought was cool, is that somebody put up a website. I don't know if you got a chance to see this.
No.
The URL is SpiderManBackInTheMCU.com. And if you click on it, it just says nope. And then you can check it every day for up-to-date information. I checked it twice just to see, and it actually says, like, the first time it said nope, and then I think the second time it said sorry or something
still
like that.
Nope.
So it changes.
Yeah.
But it changes all the time. Like,
yeah,
I think he puts something different up every day. But I just think that's cool that somebody's running that website. But I saw even just a little while ago more rumors that a new 7-picture deal could be announced in the next couple days with Sony and Disney. So who knows? You know, when we talked about it last week, we said that it was far from over, and this story still really haven't died down on that.
Kind of mentioned it a little bit last week when we were talking about it and saying, like, there's so many rumors and you don't know what to believe. So right. Off of that line of thinking, that's encouraging.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, when there's so many different versions of something, it's like that means none of them are true.
Right. You know? Now,
it's like people are in like the one that, you know, Tom Holland's out, or then there's, oh, it's all, you know, it's all about the money, or it's about, you know, production rights. There's so many different rumors, and then there's, oh, well, they're still talking, and then there's, who knows? Let's just let it play out. And like we said last week, this is nothing. It'll all be over,
right.
And we'll all be like, oh, remember that little blip?
Well, it looked a little bleak earlier in the week because that rhymed. I'm a poet, and I didn't know it. because Kevin Feige and Tom Holland both went on record talking about how Spider-Man was done in the MCU. So that kind of almost put a nail in the coffin, it seemed like, that, hey, they've come out and said that this is done, so I guess it really is done. But the stories just keep coming, and, you know, again, quote-unquote sources close to the subject are saying that, you know, another deal is in place. But one of the things that I talked about last week was how Tom Holland's future was a little bit uncertain, and at least we know that for sure is not true. Like, regardless
right.
of whether it's a Sony deal or an MCU deal, Tom Holland is back for at least two more Spider-Man
right.
movies. So that's good that at least we know that for sure. But like I said, we'll see. It's still
at least two more Spider-Man movies. I wonder if he'll have an appearance in Venom.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
I don't
that
think
might
in
be
Venom,
part of...
I don't think in Venom 2, because this is already set with a, you know, Venom and Cletus in Carnage type of thing, but
yeah, but what if
I would think if they both continue forward after that.
What if they put them at, like, an end credit scene or something?
Well, that's what I was thinking. If they go forward to, like, a Venom 3 or a Spider-Man / Venom movie, that it would happen in the post-credits.
They've got to bring them in. They have to get Spider-Man. I mean,
well,
Venom
only because
doesn't exist without Spider-Man.
But right, but that's the whole thing. The way they've set up that movie, they only have to bring him in because we want it to happen. Like, if you really think about
right.
the Venom character, it has no ties at all to Spider-Man as far as the Sony-verse goes. So they don't ever really have to bring them together. Because if bringing them together now doesn't even, like, there's no need for it.
Well, when they bring them together now, it'll be because it's part of their history. You know, they never said in the Sony version that it wasn't from, they could still work the origin from Spider-Man. You don't.
I don't know how you do that. They're alien symbiotes
yeah.
that came down on a spaceship. So,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Spider-Man's
they actually
not,
brought them
yeah.
in. And they,
yeah, Spider-Man's not part of the equation. So I think bringing him in at this point almost doesn't even make sense. It's almost like, why would they be together? It doesn't make sense in the way they've got the movie structured. Now, they could do it just as any kind of random team-up, just like they would do with any other two characters. But Spider-Man's not part of the mythology of Venom in this movie universe, so they don't ever have to bring them both together, technically.
That's still awful.
It is.
I love the movie, but I think
I
just like, I mean, you can't, it's, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just, like I said,
it's
there's
like
a lot
Superman
on the line
being
for both.
From Mars.
as much as, you know, people were saying how Sony doesn't necessarily need Marvel for these movies to happen, and they probably don't. But if they don't get these, you know, again, if these companies don't get themselves reconciled or what have you, Sony still has a chore on their hand because they have to really completely retool the beginnings and the mythology of Spider-Man because he is very tied to the MCU right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's tied to the Snap. He's tied to Tony Stark. Happy Hogan, all that stuff. They will have to completely change his character to make it not be part of that MCU universe anymore. So I think it behooves them to make a deal. They need Marvel more than they think they do.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Last bit of news from D23. Again, we speculated last week about the Obi-Wan movie, and we have confirmed that our speculation was on point because, you know, they came out at D23 and announced the Obi-Wan show with Ewan McGregor. But what I thought was really great about that is the timeline that they put out as far as where all the Star Wars timeline. Did you get a chance to see that?
So are you talking about in reference to Obi-Wan, or are you talking
about
all
the movies in general?
Yes.
Yeah, the overall timeline in general, but the fact that Obi-Wan takes place in the same time period as Solo just got me a little excited because I feel like we might see some of those dangling plot threads that Solo left hanging in the Obi-Wan show. Because it would make sense for Kira and the Crimson Dawn and Darth Maul and all that stuff to have some interaction with, you know, for Obi-Wan to have some interaction with that group of people, and I really hope that they bring that together because that was one of the biggest things that I felt was going to be a crime if, you know, in not getting a sequel to Solo is that we weren't going to get a resolution to those stories. So, you know, we know Obi-Wan is going to take place on Tatooine, and this is the, you know, I'm watching over baby Luke years, you know, of Obi-Wan, but I still really think that they could bring that storyline into play. Hell, I'd love to see Alden Ehrenreich pop in and maybe, you know, I guess it wouldn't explain, I guess, Han and Obi-Wan can't meet each other early. That really wouldn't make sense in the context of A New Hope.
Why not?
Although,
he
could always say, he could always say, I don't recall ever meeting Han Solo before.
Right.
But, I don't know, maybe not Han, but they could definitely bring in, you know, those other characters, from Solo.
So let me show you. Take a look at this. Did you see that timeline? Did you see that particular one where it shows each year?
Well, that's not the one that I saw.
Okay.
But it looks to be about the same.
Let me see if I can. I'll try to tweet this out later. So this particular timeline gives you every movie,
right, and all the shows.
And all the shows. And it breaks it down in by the year. So
right.
each slash mark represents a year. So it goes all the way through, but there is a big gap in here between, let's see, The Mandalorian takes place at the end of, what do they call it? At the beginning of Age of Rebellion. So there's three right. ages, Age of Republic, Age of Rebellion, and Age of Resistance.
Right.
So Mandalorian seems to take place right around the beginning of Age of Rebellion. I counted it out there, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 25 years, and nothing takes place.
Right.
It's between that. So, like, you have episode 1, and then 10 years later is episode 2. In between that, that's when the Clone Wars
right.
show took place. Then episode 3 takes place 4 years, according to this, after episode 2. Solo takes place about 7 years after that. Then they have the Obi-Wan takes place right in the middle of that whole Solo thing. What I think, actually, looking at this, the Solo, they have it gapped out over 4 years, according to this. I wonder if that means there's going to be a Solo project, because that movie didn't take place over 4 years. Oh, yes, no. It did. No, it did. I'm sorry. Because when they met at the very beginning, and
oh,
they get
yeah,
separated.
Yeah.
So, yes, it did. It took place over 4 years.
Yeah, because he did his whole Empire
right.
training and all that stuff.
Right. So while he was doing his Empire training, apparently, because a year after the beginning of Solo is when the Obi-Wan show takes place. But anyways, my whole point is, we could go over this all night, but my point was, after The Mandalorian, there's almost 30 years in the Star Wars timeline unaccounted for, where nothing has taken place and they show nothing. I'm wondering if that's maybe where they're going to show, where the next set of movies or even TV shows might come in that we don't know about. But there's a
right,
big gap there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think the gap would remain unfilled
exactly.
forever. It's just they are not prepared to announce what
yeah.
goes in that timeline yet. I saw today, too, that they did confirm that the next set of movies after Rise of Skywalker is definitely the Weiss and Benioff trilogy. You know, the Game of Thrones
yep.
guys. So that just kind of puts further speculation on whether the Rian Johnson trilogy is still actually a thing or if it's gone away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it will now take Weiss and Benioff 6 or 7 or 8 years to get their trilogy done. And I don't think they've got Rian Johnson. I don't think they're pushing him off for 10 years
yeah.
between projects. So his trilogy may not still be a thing. But,
yeah.
Yeah, we know that I think it's in 2022 is when the first movie of the next trilogy comes out. And yeah, we don't know what the timeline is. You know, we were under the impression that it was going to be well before, like, the Age of Republic or what have you, that it was going to go back.
Oh, go way, way back?
Yeah, because they're talking about Knights of the Old Republic, which would go back, like, 1,000,
right.
you know, 2,000 years prior. So, again, that's speculation. We don't know for sure that it's going to be that at all. But I don't think, I mean, throwing it in that 25-year time frame or whatever that we were talking about would make it hard for them to divorce themselves from any of those events of the Skywalker saga.
Right.
Because it would still be happening somewhere in those timelines. And I'm thinking they're wanting to get way, I would expect it to be thousands of years before or thousands of years after. But I think they're going to try to get as far away from anything that we know as possible. But I would think that some Disney Plus shows or what have you could live in that timeline.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah, you know,
maybe that's more what we'll see in there. And then I don't know if you have anything else, but I have one more just to prove that we're not shills for Disney Plus. I have a story, a DC story.
What's DC?
yeah. and not really even DC, more CW, but
yeah.
I'm sure you saw Brandon Routh and Courtney Ford
yeah.
are being written out of Legends of Tomorrow. That came as a little bit of a surprise.
I heard that it's not like they're being fired. It's a mutual agreement.
It's not mutual.
Oh, really? I heard that it was. I heard he wanted out or something.
No,
the
story that I'm reading is actually his post on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and it was not their decision. First of all, I didn't realize that they were husband and wife in real life. Did you know that?
I did not. I did hear it in these reports, yeah. though. Yeah, that they're
so,
together.
Yeah, so they're together in real life, but it was not their decision to leave the show. The writers decided that they were done with those storylines and basically wrote them off the show. I mean, they're not making a stink about it because they're professionals.
Yeah.
But he did make it clear in this statement that it was not their decision, and they were saddened by the fact that they were being, you know, that they were leaving the show. So,
oh, that's too bad.
You know, they were fairly central part pieces to that show in the last two seasons, you know. So,
yeah.
I'm surprised that they felt like I really am surprised that the writers felt like that they couldn't do anything else with those characters and it was time to just write them off. It makes you wonder where that story, where the show's going forward. But anyways, I saw that this week and a little disappointed because I like the Adam character in general.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going
to
be weird.
I mean, honestly, and I don't mean to
kind of a main character.
Yeah, not to be cavalier about it, but I could care less about her leaving. And not that I dislike her or anything.
She's not a main member, though.
But right, her character's not central to the story. No. So, I mean, she could... I really expected her to be written off at some point anyways. But I'm surprised that they're dumping, you know, Ray.
He's one of the few that are left that came from Arrow.
Right, he came from Arrow. He's been in the CW for a long time.
Yeah.
So... I was surprised to see that, but, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what they do with the show going forward.
Yeah.
But.
I think he's the longest other than, what's her name?
Sarah.
Yeah. Sarah Lance.
Yeah. She showed up in what, season two, I think, of Arrow, and he was season three or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
And everybody else, I mean, think of anybody else on Legends has all just been added to Legends.
Right.
Well, what's his name still there? My mind's gone mush on the characters' names. The Heat guy.
Oh yeah, Rory.
Rory. He's been a villain. So he came from. Did he come right, from he Arrow came from or Flash?
I think Flash. He came from Flash. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So. But. All right. Let's see. Oh. Spider-Man Black Cat wedding in November.
I saw that. I don't know what's up with that. I hadn't seen that until that news story. They haven't built those characters not together right now in the comics, so I don't know where that's really coming out of left field.
So are they just getting married in November, or does the arc start in November?
I don't know, because I don't know what's happening. You know, the current Amazing Spider-Man run has him back together with Mary Jane. So I don't know if this is a publicity stunt or what's going on.
Which Spider-Man run?
Right. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. Is this going to be like another Bat-Cat wedding? Where
are they trying to beat Tom King to the punch?
Right.
You know, it's like because everybody – that's all the talk over there with him, you know, love him or hate him or whatever. But it's like – and it was a weird way to announce it.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, they're getting married. What? And they even announced it as like an invitation.
Right.
Like, no, we didn't even know they were dating.
Well, they're not.
Exactly.
Currently, they're not. I read all the 800 Spider-Man titles that are out every month. I read all of them.
Yeah.
And they're not together in any of them. So I don't know where that's coming from. I think it's honestly not to be negative, but it's just a sales tactic.
Got us to talk about them.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to stick, but because once again, I'm a sucker, but I want Pete to be with Mary Jane. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked it. You know, I liked him and Felicia together. I mean, that was, you know, it was fun. But like, I'm a sucker for those long time. Like, I want Clark and Lois together.
Yeah.
I want Peter and Mary Jane together. You know, lover. I mean, a lot of people are Gwen Stacy fans. You know, and they preferred Peter and Gwen, but. She's dead, so can't do that. But I don't know. We'll see what happens. Like I said, Felicia and Pete together was cool for a while, but I don't know. I don't want to see him break. He just got Mary Jane back after like 10 years in the comics. I really don't want to see that end again so quickly.
Yeah.
But
last thing we'll I got is Garth Ennis returning to Punisher in November as well.
Yeah, saw that.
Artist Jalen Burrows. Do you know?
Not familiar. No.
Okay. Didn't know if you knew anything about him.
No, not familiar, but you know, Garth Ennis had a pretty good run on Punisher previously.
Yeah.
And, you know, I like his stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he's out there, you know, of course, the Preacher he did and the Boys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So bringing that to the Punisher should, that's good. And that's a good fit. Our buddy Pete, friend of the pod, real friend of the podcast, at Super Swede on Twitter. He loves it, and he's not reading any Marvel right now. He actually, if you follow him on Twitter, he really dislikes Disney. He doesn't like the idea of a big conglomerate.
Right.
And him and I have gone back and forth on that a bunch of times. All good fun. But he said this one here could bring him back.
Yeah.
He says this could bring him back. And he actually turned me on to a couple of books. I read one of them already. It's really good. I wish I had it in front of me. I can't remember which one it was. But from the 80s, Punisher book from the 80s. And it was the one where he went to prison, broke out, blah, 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 you know. But anyways, but yeah, he's all in for that. He's all in. Well, he thinks he's going to be all in.
He thinks
that.
He's all in.
Put it this way. He was off the fence. Now he's on the fence.
There we go.
That's good news. So see, Marvel knows what they're doing. They're going after the Super Swede.
That's right. Get them one at a time, Marvel.
Yeah, exactly. Time. That's how we built our podcast.
Yeah,
we're up to 10. all right, you got anything else? Oh, we forgot to mention Matrix 4. We forgot to mention it last week. Matrix 4 this week.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's big news. I liked your
comment
last week.
Well, it was big news last week.
I liked your comment last week after we finished recording.
Oh, that it should be Matrix 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the best, right? Because it didn't James Cameron did the new Terminator movie that's coming out, right? Isn't it supposed to be like the sequel to Terminator 2 and it's going to assume that all the other movies didn't take place?
Really?
I didn't hear that. Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
That's kind of the way the Matrix needs to be. This needs to be Matrix 2 and we'll just forget about
It is just the Matrix. Can't they just go like semicolon enter or something and back up the whole...
Matrix 4 was announced a little bit out of nowhere. Like, there's always been rumors, but I guess, you know, everybody wants to capitalize on the Keanu Reeves popularity right now because he's hotter than he's ever been.
Yeah.
They got pretty much all the main cast. I haven't heard about Lawrence Fishburne, but most of the main cast
I
is
heard
back.
Him, I did hear he was coming back, whether it's
okay,
true or not.
So,
but I did hear one.
Yeah, so
I heard
Keanu, Carrie Ann Moss, Lana Wachowski is back to direct and write. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming. So we'll see. I'm a little bit on the fence with this one because Matrix.
Pete just got on the fence.
Right. Well, I'm getting on the fence too because
the
Matrix 1 was a great movie, like phenomenal movie. Like it blew me away when I saw that movie in the theaters. 2 and 3 were terrible. Like go back and listen to what I thought about Superman Year 1 last week, and that's how I feel about the Matrix 2 and 3. They were terrible movies. So I want to know where this one fits in. Like if it's going to be like the Matrix, or if it's going to be like Matrix 3. So I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I am a little concerned, you know how I feel about aging. And I know Keanu still looks great, but he surrendered himself to the Matrix back in the Matrix 3. So I don't know how he's going to pop out now 30 years older.
So now you don't want him to age.
I don't want him to age.
I can't keep up with you. You find a hole in everything. That's why we're saying. I find the positive in everything, and you just look for holes in everything.
It's not a hole necessarily, but I'm curious how they're going to address this movie and what it's going to be. I would like to think that they wouldn't go back to the well unless they had something special that they thought they were going to be able to bring to it. But, you know, I guess special could just be all the money they're going to make.
They just want to sucker us out of our money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once you come out of the theater, you can't get your money back.
Right.
And
So I don't know. Like I said, the way the last one ended, it really didn't lend itself to another part to the story. You know,
I don't know if it did or it didn't. I was pretty confused.
Yeah.
after one, we had all these questions.
What was the guy's agent?
Smith?
Agent Smith? I guess, I mean, what I heard early plot points anyways is he kills Neo's dog, and that forces him to come out of the Matrix and go on a killing spree. I don't know.
God.
I don't know how true that is. That's just an early rumor.
Yeah. I think the one that you're starting.
Yeah. If that turns out to be true, you heard it here first.
That was whenever I watch, I can't even watch the beginning of that movie. I always just jump ahead of that scene. That in John Wick.
John Wick, yeah.
When that poor dog was crawling, you see that it crawled over to, I'm like, forget it. No,
that
I'm
was
done.
Brutal.
And I was like, ugh, awful. Awful. And that sets up a 3-movie killing spree that we're all okay
exactly.
with.
Exactly. Well, and a show that's coming too, because
they
announced the Continental is coming. I don't know if to Netflix, I don't know if they've said where it's going to be yet. But
I thought that was a breakfast show.
Yeah. This is the Continental Breakfast.
Hey,
yeah.
You got the joke.
Yeah.
Nice.
I got it. But what's his name? The guy that runs the Continental. From Deadwood. I can't. Ian McShane.
Yeah, yeah.
He's coming back for that show. So, again, puts into question the timeline of when this show is going to take place, because he wasn't in a very good spot at the end of John Wick 3. So,
well, don't the John Wick movies all take place over like 2 weeks
about
or
a
something?
Weekend? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? But yeah, he's not our favorite guy anymore after John Wick 3. So we don't know what's going on with that.
Well, I've heard rumors on that, and that he knew what he was doing, and
yeah, we'll see. We
they're
get
friends, and that's why he
we
did
get
what
Wick,
he did.
Wick 4 and 5 coming. We'll see what happens.
Exactly.
So,
all right, that it for news, or I'm sure we forgot something.
I'm sure we did, but this is always next week.
Yep. All right. Ready to get into books?
Sure.
All righty. What am I gonna spend my money on this week?
All right, so number one on our list of speculator books this week is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 97. This issue is being touted as the first appearance of Jenica in costume. So last time we talked about how many first appearances you could get out of one single character, and this makes 3 now for Jenica. But, you know, again, this book has more heat than it's had in years as far as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles go. Regular covers for this are only going for about $6, so not crazy. But the 1 in 10 variant is selling for like $30 right now, so that's quite a bit over ratio for a 1 in 10 variant. You know, and we'll see how much this maintains as far as, you know, a book that's in demand. Again, it all really depends, I always say, on what happens with this character in the long run. You know,
yeah.
If she sticks around for a long time, then these things will be in demand because it's the first appearance of a character that exists forever. You know, if it's a story arc and at the end of it she turns back into, you know, a human or whatever happens to her and she goes away, then it'll end up being a non-issue and it won't be in demand very much at all. So we'll have to see what happens going forward with her. Next from Marvel, seems like we're going to talk about House of X or Powers of X every week, at least
yep.
for the first. This might be the last one, though, to be honest with you, because
as far as speculators,
as far as speculator books, is you know, for House of X and Powers of X, because this is the last one that we had to order blindly.
Oh, okay.
You know, after by the time each one hits issue 4. You know, we had some pretty relevant sales data to go on, and stores
right.
should be a lot more in stock. Even this one, House of X number 3 today, I felt like I was in a better position at the end of the day than I have been on any of the other ones so far. But with that being said, you know, these books, every cover is still going for well over cover price right now, ranging anywhere from $10 to $25. On some of the different covers for House of X number 3. So, it is still a little bit short ordered compared to demand, but like I said, I would expect by next week to see these things start to even out. Last week we talked about House of X number 2, like 2 weeks ago. Some of those covers are up to like $50 now.
Really?
You know, they're really starting to go up in price because, like I said, the series keeps heating up and it's harder and harder to get these issues now as people want to come on board. As far as House of X number 3 goes, the Azrar connecting variant seems to be the most in demand at $25. So, you know, if you're out there on the shelves looking, that's the one I would try to grab above and beyond all the others. But you really can't go wrong with any of them at this point. Next, also from Marvel, we have Venom issue number 17. Two covers to be aware of on this. The first one is the 1 in 25 Codex variant. That's also going for almost double ratio. It's like $50 for that one. And then there's the 80th Marvel Anniversary 80th frame variant, which has a lot of people. A lot of people seem to like the cover. It hasn't really spiked in price yet, but a lot of people are looking for that one as well. These were not quite open to order. There was a threshold that you had to meet to be able to order this variant. It wasn't super high, so most stores should still have been able to order it, but it wasn't quite just open to order as many as you wanted. You had to meet certain criteria to get it. From DC, we have Red Hood and the Outlaws, issue number 37. This is the first appearance of a new character called Cloud Nine. Main cover is selling for about $20, and the variant cover for this is selling for about $25. This was selling out before release today. You know, there was already a lot of people on Facebook talking about this issue and a lot of demand on this. I did end the day with some in stock, though, so I didn't have a bunch of people looking for it, but I expect them to be gone, you know, here before the weekend. And like I said, if you can grab that, go ahead and get it. From Boom Studios, we have Once in Future, issue number 1, the second printing. Second printing is already sold out, as we've mentioned before. This has gone to a fifth printing already. The second print is selling for as high as $90 and averaging $75 a piece on eBay. Where the first prints are still sitting at around $20. So, once again, the second print is the one that probably has the least amount of printings because it was solicited before the issue came out. I know, personally, I didn't order any second prints because I had a bunch of first printings coming. But then it went into third print right away. So I don't know what the print run is on the second prints, but it couldn't have been very large, because that's a pretty high price tag on the second printings. And then, as far as the, from the retailer standpoint, like when we go in to order these reorders, it says specifically on the Diamond site that it will be filled with whatever the current printing is available. So we're not even necessarily ordering specifically the second, third, or fourth print or whatever. We're basically just putting an order in for the title, and we're getting whatever they have. Yeah. So, I don't know how many of these hit the stands, like I said, but that's one to get. If you can get that second printing, there's definitely money in that. I'd grab it and get as many as you can. Actually, it's still, even the first print selling for $20 on eBay still kind of blows me away a little bit, because I've got a stack of them still in the store. I'm selling at cover price. I don't know what stores are out of this already, but
scoop them up.
Yeah, I would say grab them, because if you can even find the first prints at cover price, you can flip them on eBay for $20. So definitely go out there. I've got a stack if you want to come and buy them. I'd be happy to get rid of them. Actually, I say a stack. I don't have that many left. I've sold through at least 80% of my order on that. So,
yeah.
But I do still have copies of number one. So I don't have any second, third, fourth, or fifth prints coming, because I'm not out of the first one yet. All right. From Vault Comics, we have The Mall, issue number 1. Pricing is kind of all over the place on this. I saw listings at cover price, but I also saw some as high as $16 for this issue number one. So there is some interest on here. The average, though, is $6 to $7. So while it is over cover price, it might be just an outlier. That $16 sale might just be an outlier. But we're going to talk about this book a little bit later as one of our recommended, or as one of our this week's books. So go out and grab that if you can. And then the last one is also from Vault Comics, and it's also a book that I'm going to talk about. And this is Necromancer's Map, issue number one. Same thing, main cover selling for about $6. Both of these, like I said, being from Vault Comics, are probably under-ordered in a lot of stores because they're not one of the bigger publishers. But I will say that they have been making a big push lately because they're offering returnability on all their number one issues, and they have been for a while at any quantity. So I think a lot of stores, myself included, have been more willing to take a risk on ordering these titles in, knowing that, you know, we have that safety net with them.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, I didn't order it in Batman numbers or anything, so they're still going to be, you know, a little bit tougher to find, but you should be able to see them in most stores, I think. That's it for Speculator Corner.
All right. And what do we got for back issue bonus?
All right. So the first issue on back issue bonus is Venom First Host, issue number 3. This is the first appearance of Sleeper, and this is going for about $13. There is a second printing that shows the character Sleeper on the cover. Those are going for like $70. So, once again, you know, probably a lower ordered second printing. You know, in a lot of cases, I'm going to go off on a little bit of a tangent here, but it seems to me the more I look through these lists, it used to be that collectors really only wanted the first prints of things, and they didn't really care about the second or future printings. But if you look through these lists that we've talked about for the last, you know, multiple times over the last few weeks, it's these second prints that seem to have the higher price tag than the first prints ever do.
Any idea why?
Well, I think because there's not as many of them out there. You know, stores will, you know, like, let's say Venom First Host came out and I ordered, I don't know what I ordered, 20 copies for the store. And I sold out of it and said, okay, well, number 4 is coming, so let me have some number 3s on the shelf. I'll grab the second printings. But I probably ordered three copies or 4 copies of it.
Right.
I don't order another 20 copies. So I think that the cases, they just have lower print runs. And then Marvel lately, you know, we were talking about Once in Future. Obviously, that's not Marvel. But in the case of Marvel lately, they've been doing a lot of their second printings with the spoiler covers. So they're spoiling the events of what happened in the book. And they did it recently with Silver Surfer Black, where they showed Null, the symbiote god, on the second printing for issue number one. And that was selling for $30.
While I still
had number ones on the shelf for $4.99 or $3.99, whatever the cover price was. So I think it's not always the case now where the second prints are going to be worthless. In a lot of cases, they could end up being worth more than the first printings in some cases. Anyway, end tangent. but also to go along with this, keep an eye on Venom number 165. This is the first appearance of the Sleeper symbiote, which is actually a distinction from the character Sleeper, you know, is being debated on some of the speculator forums. But that also has the first cameo of Dylan Brock. So I don't know, for those that are not reading the story, Dylan Brock is Eddie Brock's son. There's heavy speculation that before the end of Absolute Carnage, Eddie Brock is going to be killed, and Dylan Brock may take over with the Venom symbiote, and that's fueling the interest in his first appearance as well.
Oh, wow.
Whether that comes to pass or not, we don't know, but I've had multiple people come into the store talking to me about that, so we'll see if that plays out. Again, staying along the Venom lines, we have Venom Lethal Protectors, issue number 4. This is the first appearance of Scream. you know, obviously we have the Absolute Carnage Scream tie-in that's going on right now, and we know that after Absolute Carnage finishes, Scream as a character is going to have her own ongoing series. So this being the first appearance, it's going for $12 to $20 right now, so nothing too crazy. Again, still in the realm of affordability. I don't expect Scream to take off as a super popular character, so I wouldn't expect this thing to spike.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to triple or quadruple, you know, anytime in the near future, but it's still a good pickup at, you know, $12 to $20. And then, last but not least, another one to look at is Uncanny X-Men number 305. This is the first appearance of the Phalanx. So anybody, if you're reading House of X or Powers of Ten, you know the Phalanx has made an appearance in that storyline. And this is a cheap book. It's only $5 or $6. So it's pure speculation, but, you know, at $5 or $6, it might be a good one to jump on, because this book could go up depending on what Hickman does before the end of this, you know, current series. That's it for back issue bonus.
All right, and get into this week's FOC.
All right, so FOC from DC Comics, we have Action Comics number 1015. This is the Year of the Villain variant cover. It was solicited by Gabriel Del Auto, but that has actually since been changed, and it's now going to be done by Lucio Perillo. And it is going to feature Naomi on the cover. So,
so you know, change that in the notes.
Yes, you could change it to Lucio Perillo. But, you know, again, now, you know, we've kind of been wondering where Naomi was going to land after her miniseries ended, and it looks like we're going to start to see her interacting with the other DC characters. So that might be one to watch. We have Flash issue number 79 by Paolo Pantalena. We have Red Hood 38, Philip Tan. And Wonder Woman 79, Jenny Frisson. Those are all really good looking covers. Yeah. There's no new series from DC on FOC this week. Jumping down to Marvel, we have no variant covers to show because they were not available. New series, we have Absolute Carnage Avengers issue number 1. Again, I think it's just a one shot. I don't believe it's a series. But there's multiple covers there. We have Marvel Comics 1001. Multiple covers there. Again, not a new series. It's the sequel, or it's the tandem issue to Marvel Comics 1000 that came out today. We have New Mutants War Children issue number 1. And Strike Force issue number 1. And multiple covers for both of those. That's it from Marvel. Moving on to Vault Comics, we have The Plot, Issue 1, and Relics of Youth, Issue 1. Both of those only have one cover available. From Dynamite Comics, we have Ms. Fury, Issue number 1. Being Dynamite, there's, you know, makes up for Vault only having one cover, because this has about 87 covers. There's got to be 10 covers at least for this, so there's a whole bunch there. And Valiant, we have Bloodshot, issue number 1, multiple covers for that. And last but not least, from Zenoscope, we have Grim Fairy Tales Presents. This is the 2019 horror pinup special. And again, being Zenoscope, there's 5 or 6 different covers for that. And that's it for FOC.
All right, let's get into this week's books.
Right, so the first book, like we talked about back in the Speculator books, is Necromancer's Map, issue number 1. Once again, this is from Vault Comics. It was written by Andrea Fort and Michael Christopher Herron, and it has art by Sam Beck. So this is, you know, another kind of, it's a sword and sorcery type of world that we're living in here. You've got the main character is called Bethany. As you can maybe guess from the title, she's a necromancer. And she's got a map. And she's got a map that she can't read. So she's gone off to find I can't remember what they called themselves, but it's basically a sanctuary where she's going to try to find somebody that can read the map, because they can't make sense of it. She's got accompanied with her, her best friend who, or I don't know if it's her best friend, but her companion that has died and she's risen from the dead because she's a necromancer. So he's following her around and yeah, so she goes in and she's, you know, trying to find these guys to help her read the map. She gets where she's going. The only person that can help her read the map is very ill, is taken to his sick bed. He's got some kind of mysterious illness. They think he's going to die. And so she's kind of sneaking around the sanctuary trying to see if she can find any clues to help her read this map. And this is where she runs in, of course, to the guy that's sick and, you know, agrees to help her out, trying to get the information that she's looking for. So, I don't know if I did a great job of explaining that, but I actually really liked this book more than I thought I was going to. The art was really good on this. And the story was very interesting. The interactions between her and the necromancer, you know, her and the, I don't know what you call it, the cadaver, I guess, or the person that was raised. Like, they're getting in fights all the time, and he ran off and left her because they got in a big fight, and she's, I don't want to give too much away, but she's basically, she's trying to get secrets to the map, and so she stumbles into the crypt looking for the library, and she ends up in the crypt, and she has this, like, dilemma of whether she should start raising these dead bodies to get the answers that she's looking for. And so it was really cool. I really liked the writing, and like I said, I liked the story a lot. I say this a lot about a lot of books, and I don't really follow through, but I am going to read the next issue of this because I liked it a lot. A lot of times I read these number ones and think I'm going to get to the next issue, but I just don't because I have so many books to read. But
right.
I really liked this book, so I'm definitely going to read the second issue and see where it goes from here.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was Necromancer's Map.
All right. My book this week, Mountainhead, number one of five from IDW Publishing, writer John Lees and artist Ryan Lee. And they got all the Lees involved because they have letterers, Sean Lee. So.
All right.
Yeah, I just thought
it's a family affair.
Yeah, none of them are related. So, did you see this book?
I didn't read it. I saw it. I have it on the shelf, but
so a lot like you said, it's one of five. We say, you know, I do want to follow along with this book. So basically, this is a story. It bills itself as a, quote, psychological thriller and horror story. In this book, it's not really the horror part yet. So I don't know where that part, that'll probably come up later. But it definitely is a psychological thriller, which was really, it was really a lot of fun. It was a quick read, small print, small letters.
That'll throw me off it.
Yeah.
Right there, because...
But... what I'll say is it did at first. I was like, oh, no. I'm like, this is so... But the story's pretty good, and it makes you go... You want to follow along, and it's...
It's just hard for... The older I get, the harder it gets for me to be able to read these books.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that... And so I think that's a testament to the storytelling, because you don't mind it. The artwork's not great. It's not bad. It's not. It's just, you know, it's average. But the story, I think, is something that... So basically, it's a father-son type situation at the beginning that isn't all that it appears to be. They're nomads. Basically, they're criminals robbing people's houses, and they... it's kind of funny at the beginning, the father's telling his son, like, you know, possessions don't mean anything. These people live off, you know, they get upset because they lose their possessions. But meanwhile, they're stealing their possessions because that's, you know, they're like, right. Possessions don't mean anything, but they need them to survive because they have to, you know, they have to pawn it. They steal it and pawn it. So, that's just all in the first couple pages. And then it kind of goes downhill from there. Right. And it really, it kind of pulls at the heartstrings a bit. And there's a lot of mystery involved, which I like in a story where you don't know which way to believe, which way to go. Right. So, yeah, it was really good. Very entertaining. Very entertaining. So, yeah, Mountainhead, number one. And it's number one of five. So there's only five. So I definitely want to see where this goes. And it doesn't seem to be a long investment in time with only five books.
Right.
And we both read the next one.
Oh, okay. You read this one as well?
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think? Go ahead. Why don't you introduce it?
Well, so, you're right. The second book is Maul, number one, also from Vault Comics. This was written by Michael Morrissey and Gary Dauberman, and it had art by Zach Hartong. So this takes place basically, after the world has ended. The book starts out, and basically that's the first line. And if you look at the first box in the book, it just says the world has ended. You know, no effing around or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes on to explain that basically, you know, it was natural causes. It wasn't like a war or anything that ended. It was
global warming. Everything.
Yeah, but yeah, mostly
everything
things,
they warned us about. And
right.
Then everything
right.
happened from
which
there.
I thought was a little bit of a social, you know, a political commentary on,
yeah,
you know, global warming and, you know, the melting of the ice caps and, you
yeah.
know,
basically
all that stuff that's going on. But
yeah, the timeline is the people in the story weren't around for the end of the world. They're all children
right.
and adults that were born after the fact.
Right. Or I got the sense that it could have even been like generations.
Oh, yeah.
Not just right. one. But yeah, this is all ancient history at this point. Like the world has ended and generations have gone on. But this centers around a group of people who are living in the mall, just like it says. You know, they took
right.
refuge. The mall is still standing, which again, I really felt like this whole book was an indictment on society, because it goes, you know, the only thing still standing is the capitalist, you know, mall, right? But you know, like I said, it focuses on a group of people who have survived by basically living in the mall, but it's not like a peaceful existence. These people have all fractured into gangs and,
right.
I don't know how big this mall is, or I didn't really get a sense from how many people were still living at this point.
Right.
Because it doesn't really go into that, but they are all under the impression that they are the only group of survivors, like that the only people in existence are the ones that are alive in this mall.
Well, they don't know anything. I don't know. They don't.
Well,
my impression was that they don't know what goes on outside of the mall, because they don't know if you can live out there. And
right. Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think from their point of view, they believe they're the only, like they believe they are humanity, like that
right.
there are no pockets of survivors anywhere else. But they don't know for sure, like you said, because the punishment for breaking the law seems to be that they send you outside the mall.
Yeah, you're banished.
Basically banished, yes, but also to go out and scout and report back. Like, they're not necessarily banished because they want them to report back what they find, but nobody has ever
come back.
So. Right. That just fuels the speculation that it's not survivable out there. What popped into my head as I was reading this, and of course we don't know because we didn't get to this part, but my thought was they find something better out there and they don't want to come back.
Right. That's an option that
I'm thinking that when this thing ends, like you open the doors to the mall and it's just green grass and, you know,
I don't
there's
think
like a whole society of people out there.
Yeah.
I don't know either, but I get the sense that they have gone out and found something better and they don't want to come
Maybe.
Back. That may not be the case. But in any case, this first issue, you know, revolves around a character called Andre Reed, who, when we find him, he's passed out somewhere in the mall. He wakes up with blood on his hands, you know, next to a dead body. And of course, the assumption is that he, you know, he killed this person, who I guess was the leader. He was basically the president of them all. And, you know, his daughter, his daughter's after Andre because she thinks he killed, you know, he killed her dad. And so he's, of course, protesting his innocence, you know, doesn't say he did it. And that's, you know, we kind of go back and forth with that for really the rest of the book. But they want to banish him and send him out to
scout or explore, or whatever.
There's a lot of stuff that happens in
there.
There's
a lot of stuff that happens. But it's basically, it shows you what society would be like, a microcosm of society, and it gets shrunk down into a mall.
Right.
And he, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes on, but then there's that twist at the end.
Right.
That is, you know, I don't know. What did you think of the story? Are you going to try to read the second one?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Yeah,
I'm like,
it didn't, I didn't love it. I guess, like, I'm thankful that this isn't a zombie book. But I mean, I'm done with the, like, I've had enough stories about post-apocalyptic Earth, you know? Like, I just think at this point it's a tired trope that I've had enough of. And this didn't interest me enough to make me want to come back for it.
I was interested. I just, I liked the idea of what they did. I liked the idea of the mall. I liked the idea, because basically what you're doing is, so, like, if you went back, like, 2,000, maybe 3,000 years ago, people all lived, like, you had a wall around your city, right? So, and if you didn't do, you know, if you used to get banished outside the wall, right?
Right.
Well, now it's like, go 1,000 years in the future, and everybody's living in a mall. It's kind of the same idea, and you have your same, you have your criminals, and but you're all into this tight, enclosed area on a big planet Earth.
Right.
So it's kind of the, you know, the mirror image of that. I thought that was interesting. I just didn't think that the rest of the story was that, you know.
I don't know.
It didn't grab, the other part of it didn't really grab me and make me go, wow, I can't wait to see what happens next. It's like you said, it's like, if I trip over it in the store, maybe I'll grab it.
Right.
You know, if I like, oh yeah, maybe that's, you know, is this, did it say how many
No, it didn't. I don't know if it's ongoing. Geez. It here's, you know me, right? Like, you know how I am already. So you know what I really fixated on the most when I was reading this book? When he was being, I guess not really interrogated, but when whatever that guy was that was basically going to carry out his sentence for being found guilty, he's got him in a chair and they're kind of going back and forth. He's interrogating him a little bit. Behind him, you can see that they're in a shoe store. Right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because
there's sneakers
on the wall, and in my mind, I'm thinking there's multiple generations of people that live there, and nobody needed those damn shoes. Like,
I thought,
like,
why
are those shoes still on the wall? You know, right? Because I'm like, there's no way that nobody needed those shoes, because every place else you see them, there you can tell they're in different stores, but everything's gone. Like, it's all been appropriated by somebody. But yet, there's sneakers on the wall that nobody's touched.
Yeah,
and
like probably because it's only the single sneaker. You know, you don't have a left and a right.
Well, but the pair is in the back room.
Right? Not now. Generations later, somebody's taken one.
But they weren't running around with one shoe.
I know, John.
I know, but I'm just saying.
They're not running anywhere. They're in a mall.
I just, like I said, I couldn't get over that because even the outfit, all the clothes that everybody was wearing were like, first of all, it felt like the world ended in the 80s, because you had that group of guys that was wearing like the Richard Simmons workout gear that went out of fashion 30 years ago. But then you have the one dude that's wearing, you know, like the basketball jersey. It's like everybody's wearing stuff that they stole. Well, they didn't really steal, but they got from the mall.
Yeah.
You know? But yet these shoes are still up on the wall. I couldn't get over that.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't awful. Wasn't the worst.
It wasn't. Like, it wasn't terrible. Like, I wasn't reading it thinking this is like Superman year two.
Oh, jeez.
I can't wait to get to the end of it.
I definitely wasn't thinking that.
But I didn't, like I said, it didn't, when I got to the end of it, I wasn't jonesing for more. Like, I just didn't care.
Not at all.
Even with the even with kind of like the pseudo cliffhanger that we got at the end, I didn't care enough about the characters or the situation that I think I'm going to come back. So I don't necessarily think The Mall is a must read, but
no, nope, not like last week's book.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some of the. Let's blast through a few other ones from this week. Let's get to House of X number 3. Did you read that?
I didn't read a single other book. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, I only read these two.
Oh wow! So we can't even talk about House of X.
No, I can't talk about anything else because I didn't read anything today.
Oh,
I was,
man,
my orders, you know, monthly so orders were due today. So
you haven't read Spider-Man Life Story 6 yet?
Nope.
Too bad.
Yeah,
you're gonna love it.
Really, I'm sure good. I will. Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to read a lot of this week's books. But like I said, I had to order due today, and it took me most of the day to get that finished. So, I just got these two in, and that was it.
So, did you even get to flip through Marvel Comics?
1000? Briefly, yeah. I flipped through it a little bit, but not.
Did you see the Spider-Man page?
No,
because they go through every year.
Yeah.
And in 60, so it's really good. It's I took a picture of it and sent it to my son. It's really funny. Just flip to it when you get a chance. Professor Cold Call. It's really funny.
Okay.
It's August 1962, it says, and it's like it's basically Peter calling a helpline.
Oh yeah.
Because he got bit by a spider.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's the doctor on the other end is like questioning him. It's you got to read. It's really funny. Marvel Comics 1000. It's just jump to August 1962 and check it out. It's pretty funny.
Okay. Yeah, I will. Like I said, I definitely will read them. I'll read all of this week's books over the next day or two, but I couldn't get to it today.
All right. Well, then
I know short. I know that shortened things up, but sorry. I could talk about any of last week's books if you want to do that, but
I don't have them with me. I don't remember them.
Yeah,
off the top of my head. Let me see. What do we got? Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about, and I forgot to mention it while we were talking Star Wars earlier. We had a couple of comments on Twitter that I thought were really cool that I saved about the Star Wars from the other day.
Yeah.
So, first one that came in was Derek at Echo4How. Great discussion on Star Wars. Like you said, memory lane. HBO first aired Star Wars in the winter of 83 to lackluster ratings. I remember when HBO was off the air until 5 Eastern time every day, and then he corrected that with a later tweet saying it was actually 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
But yeah, until he had said that, I forgot.
Yeah,
yeah,
I had
wasn't
to.
On 24 hours a day.
Right.
But yeah, what I thought, the other part I thought was interesting, like you said, it aired in 83 to lackluster ratings. I wonder if that had anything to do with, like, I don't know how they did their ratings then, and maybe kids didn't have it, didn't know about it. You know what I mean? Like, Star Wars was mostly for kids. Cable was fairly new. Not everybody had cable, especially in 83. I don't even know right. if I had it in 83. So I'm wondering if that's why it was, you know, lackluster ratings, just the lack of people having
Yeah, I
cable.
Don't know, because I don't know if I even knew that. Like, I don't think I knew that until I read that tweet. And,
yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So the other one we got was from Paul Fossetti at Fossetti62 on Twitter. So he was replying to the one where it was like, well, so our podcast came out on Monday about Star Wars, but because of, you know, D23 and then the Rise of Skywalker trailer dropping, right. It's like the whole world's talking nostalgia and everything, and we're like, we didn't mean this.
Yeah, we kind of lucked into it.
Yeah, we lucked into it, and he's like, yeah, but so he commented, he's like, love the Jaws comparison. A lot of the terror in those characters has to do with the same person, John Williams.
Right.
Vader and Bruce had their own distinct theme music, and that was terrifying every time you hear it. And I thought that was a great point. Yeah. It's like the John Williams, and you know, I mean, there was so much we talked about last week. I'm surprised we didn't touch on that, but yeah, I thought that was a great point. The whole John Williams playing the playing both, and but yeah.
Well, and I think recently we talked about Jaws and the impact of the music. I don't think it was last week, but
yeah, well,
sometime in the last couple of weeks, we made that point also.
Right. Anytime we reference sound and the importance of sound in a movie, we usually do go back to Jaws and how important that is.
Because otherwise, it's just water. Like, most of the time, you're seeing the
silence.
Right, but that's the thing. You're seeing the screen. You're not even seeing the shark in most cases.
Right.
So the only thing that lets you know that anything is even coming is that music.
Right.
So without it, it's just not the same movie. And, of course, you could say that about a lot of things. But
right.
But yeah, it's what lets you know that the danger's coming is that music. Because you hear that well in advance of seeing the shark or what have you. A lot of times it's just like the kicking feet underwater and the music, and that's it.
Yeah.
So.
So, what I wanted to say too is for Paul, he's commented on a bunch of stuff. I wanted to make it, we haven't given out a t-shirt in a while.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to thank Paul for that tweet, all his other tweets. Thanks for supporting the podcast. Paul Fossetti, DM me, let me know your size, address, and we will get a t-shirt out to you ASAP.
Awesome.
Thank you. You got, what else you got?
I don't have anything else.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Good. I want to go to bed.
Yeah.
All right. Hey. Our second podcast, well, all of our podcasts are up on the Nerdy Legion now, but yeah, any new people listening, hit us up on Twitter, follow us on Twitter, at @brightside_chat. A lot of conversations going on there. Dr. Joe, Iowa Joe, always great conversationalists. Paul, Derek, all of our listeners, everybody, you know, commenting. There's a bunch of conversations talking about a bunch of different things, all comic books. Join the conversation and, you know, or just watch.
Yep.
I don't even know if we're on Google Play anymore. I tried to find us.
It's all nerdylegion.com, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it also goes out to everybody. It goes out to all the different platforms. Yeah. So we're on a whole bunch of different platforms. Follow us on the Nerdy Legion. You can check out the Nerdy Legion website at nerdylegion.com. You can check out all the other podcasts there. And, that's it. You ready?
Ready.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right.
Have a good night.
Take care.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.